Illinois Public Media News, this is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. It's Thursday, December 12th. Coming up, we'll learn more about the efforts to increase biodiversity in East Central Illinois. That story in just a few minutes, but first, these headlines. A pro-Palestinian encampment at the University of Illinois last semester led to multiple demonstrators facing misdemeanor charges. That prompted administrators to update school policies to prohibit the use of loudspeakers on campus. As IPM's Mayantha reports, students are finding new ways to make sure their voices are heard, even if they're silent.
Earlier this week, students filled the fourth floor of Granger Library with slogans criticizing the U of I on their laptops. The group wanted to use silence to protest new rules that limit how loud protests can be on campus. One Palestinian student chose to be anonymous, citing concerns that she could be suspended or expelled for protesting. She says the university has been targeting their movement.
We're not going to let, you know, the student body forget, like, what the university did to the protesters, like, deploying five separate different police departments, brutalizing, beating on students. That was absolutely disgusting. And to not let them forget, you know, like, the whole reason why we did everything is for Gaza.
University spokesperson Robin Kaler said in a statement that the school does not use expulsion in response to unauthorized demonstrations. She said five students faced disciplinary action for disruptive behavior last semester. May Antar, IPM News.
The Champaign Park District is moving forward with plans to make security upgrades at the Virginia Theater. The Park District Board voted to allocate more than $80,000 to the project last night. The upgrades would give employees more control over who can access different spaces within the theater. They would also help the district monitor visitors as they come and go. Facilities Director Jimmy Gleason says those upgrades will occur while the theater is closed for renovations starting next month.
So originally we were actually targeting next year, but we have the available funds to make this happen while dark, and so we think this is the prime opportunity to do so.
Access controls have already been installed at several Park District facilities. The theater will close in January and is set to reopen in April. The Virginia Theater is a financial supporter of Illinois Public Media. Following the social media platform Twitter's transformation into X, some experts are worried about government agencies leaving the platform. Ariana Donley is a social media manager for Government Social Media, an organization that provides digital training to government employees. She tells the 21st Show that government entities use X to share information on crime, weather, and road closures with their communities.
I know that that's been a really important resource for not just the news agencies, but even for government agencies as well, because they're able to sort of get community photos or information about major crisis events through X as well. But for months, we have been hearing that reach and engagement has been down for a lot of agencies.
Donley says the cost to be a verified source on X is also a barrier for a lot of government agencies. New rules governing Illinois' hemp industry are going into effect. The state's Department of Agriculture says the new regulations move Illinois' industry in line with federal rules and have already been approved by the USDA. Hemp advocates say some of the changes are bad news, like making more people ineligible for a license to grow or sell hemp based on past drug-related felonies. But Sam McGee, a Department of Agriculture attorney, recently told lawmakers that's coming from the feds. He says that rule and others might not always be there.
We don't really find it an important requirement, but it is something that the federal government has required. And as soon as that is no longer required at the federal level, we'll adapt accordingly.
The rules are separate from a bill that state lawmakers introduced in the spring to effectively ban certain hemp products like Delta 8 from retail sale in Illinois. That measure is still pending. Still to come, we'll learn more about the efforts to increase biodiversity in East Central Illinois. That story is coming up next on 217 Today, but first, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your forecast.
I'm meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your IPM News forecast for Champaign-Urbana. Your forecast for today, cloudy with light snow and a high of 20 degrees, an accumulation of a dusting to an inch possible, with a northwest wind 5 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low of 12 degrees, northeast wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high of 32 degrees, an east wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with a low of 26 degrees. Southeast wind, 5 to 10 miles per hour. And for Saturday, cloudy with rain likely and a high of 45 degrees with a southeast wind 10 to 15 miles per hour.
Next time on the 21st Show, it's been a time of historic change in Syria as rebel forces captured major cities and sent dictator Bashar al-Assad fleeing to Russia. We'll hear how Syrian Illinoisans are reacting to the news and thinking about what happens next. I'm Brian Mackey. That's next time on the 21st Show. Join us.
You're listening to 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. The Midwest has seen an incredible loss of native prairies and wetlands over the past few centuries. The changes have been driven primarily by farming and urban sprawl. But here in East Central Illinois, several groups are working to bring back native ecosystems. IPM Student Newsroom's Brendan Gallion reports.
Like most fall days in this part of the country, the skies overhead are gray and cloudy. A fierce wind whistles through the tall prairie at Point Pleasant in northern Champaign County. Biologist Jason Bly stands beside me in a clearing, marveling at the scene.
Yeah, so right now we're standing at the Middle Fork Forest Preserve, which is one of Champaign County Forest Preserves. I think they've got six or eight different ones, and out of all of them, this is by far my favorite. Just the amount of restoration and the huge expanses of prairie and wetlands that they've got out here. Like, it kind of just makes you realize that this is what Illinois would have looked like 300 years ago.
The Illinois of 300 years ago is long gone. Along with the loss of land came the decimation of native animals as well. Bly calls it a biodiversity crisis. Of the little land that hasn't been farmed over here, part of it belongs to the Champaign County Forest Preserve. Former Director of Natural Resources Peter Goodspeed explains they're making the most of what they have.
If you look at how much land we, you know, manage compared to the entire size of Champaign County, it's very insignificant. The forest preserves in total, we only manage just over 4,000 acres.
Goodspeed notes that there are some farms that are larger than 4,000 acres.
We're these little habitat oases in a desert of corn and soybean here. We do our best in the land that we do have. We're trying to maximize biodiversity, and we do that by focusing on restoring habitat structure and function.
The Champaign County Forest Preserve isn't the only group working to combat the crisis. Bly is involved in the federal Partners for Fish and Wildlife program, which aims to install native habitats on privately owned land. Here in Illinois, those habitats are typically prairies and wetlands. The program is very similar to the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Farm Bill Conservation Program. One local landowner, Ross Sorensen, has taken advantage of the program at several of his properties, including a former hops farm near Loda, about 30 miles north of Champaign. Sorensen and I tour the land in his Ford pickup truck.
That's like our farm there, so you saw that wetland and that wetland.
He points out the different plants and animals that now occupy the site, such as a commonly seen marsh hawk, which flies overhead. Below, the scene is almost alien. The tall wooden posts used in hops farming remain, and now stand at the center of an uneven, partially flooded wetland. The area is surrounded by harvested farmland as far as the eye can see. Sorensen was very involved in the making of this small haven, something that he suspects is uncommon.
I would say most landowners are probably more hands-off than we were, just because from a knowledge perspective, planting native seeds is kind of a specialty deal, you know, even for like farmers who are planting seeds every single year.
Sorensen estimates that he's planted more than 40 species of plants at this one site alone. He credits a lot of his conservation knowledge to past experience, but concedes that there's always someone who knows more than he does.
You know, Mother Nature surprises you all the time to say, oh, okay, I see that plant really responded well to the drought conditions, or depending on our weather in the spring and summer, certain wildflowers bloom really heavy, and then you may not see them again for 2 or 3 years.
Sorensen and Bly say that they're seeing immediate successes from the projects. I noted the lack of current habitat leads to a profusion of wildlife at any new project.
Especially in East Central Illinois, and as soon as we get a project on the ground, it's amazing the wildlife response. You know, whether it's pheasants, quail, turkey, deer, or, you know, with the wetland, waterfowl, and shorebirds, because there's so little habitat in this part of the state that when we do put a project back on the ground, the wildlife immediately finds it and excels there.
Sorensen also catches sight of waterfowl commonly, and notes that he can hear the calls of the near-threatened northern bobwhite quail, a ground-dwelling bird whose population has been in sharp decline.
We see tons of shorebirds out here, some cranes, egrets. I mean, we call this wild America out here. I mean, there's bald eagles. I think we just saw a golden eagle a half mile away. Those are all new. Hearing quail, although not seeing them as much, but you can hear them calling at sunset.
Other species Bly hopes will thrive thanks to the new habitats are the whooping crane and the American golden plover, a shorebird with a black and white head and shimmering wings. He says that anyone can help fight the biodiversity crisis in small-scale ways, such as donating to conservation causes or starting a butterfly garden. Goodspeed agrees.
When I'm walking around neighborhoods in Champaign and Urbana, I love to see people with like native pollinator gardens and things like that in their yards, even if it's just a really small area.
He says that no contribution is too small. I'm Brendan Gallion, IPM News.
That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Stephanie Mosqueda. Reporting today contributed by May Antar, Analika Ochuba, Kulsum Khan, and Brendan Gallion. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Kimberly Schofield. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.